So, here we are, the end of 2018. You know, it seems like it's been a long year. I don't know, has anybody else had opposition this year? I guess I'm the only one. You know, there's just been so much sickness and even death and distress and rejection, you know, jealous accusations, depression, all types of anxiety. And, you know, these aren't the things that, you know, I'm reading about or hearing about on the news. This is people that I'm in community with, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, and it's just can get so overwhelming. And there's weariness because it feels like we keep going, and we're not seeing results, or we're not seeing expectations that we thought that we should see. We're not seeing answers to prayers like we thought we should see, you know, and it gets tiresome. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I get that mindset that, just get through the year. We'll just get through the year. You know, it's almost over 2018. We're going to get through the year. Then it'll be 2019. Well, you know, when I was thinking about that this past week, you know, Holy Spirit just reminded me of a scripture in Isaiah. And it is, "Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." And, you know, when he spoke that verse to me, it revealed my heart, which wasn't pretty, because I had just left. I was in that, you know, just no care attitude, just get through the year, let's move on to the next year, you know. And even though I might have been going through the motions with my relationship with him, I had let that weariness of the everything else that's going on around me or my loved ones or friends or whoever, you know, just be a center of attention instead of having, like, my focus and my gaze on him always. And, you know, he also reminded me, too, that he can change things in an instant, you know. A suddenly can happen at any time. And that I need to just get out of that mindset because, you know, it could be 11:59, New Year's Eve, and you could get your miracle or whatever. Or you could just experience him in a new way. I mean, that's the best thing of all. And, you know, so many times, especially, it seems like right after Christmas, we're quick to, you know, put the manger away, and we're quick to forget about Jesus because it's so, like, in your face during that month, and then he's put away, and then until Easter, you know? And, you know, we go through our normal, you know, coming to church and all that stuff, but it's not like he's, like, our center of attention like he is at Christmas. And, you know, and it's hard because we're all busy. You know, we all have busy lives. We all have families. And, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we need to make him a priority, and we need to always celebrate him, not just on Christmas, as this is the month that we celebrate his birthday, but we need to celebrate him every day of our lives. And, you know, this is the time, too, that we'll start seeing words coming from different ministers and pastors for 2019, and I enjoy reading them. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, I'm receiving that word, and my spirit connects with that word, and sometimes I'm rolling my eyes and whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I read this from a minister, and I thought, this is good, and this is what he wrote. "As the Roman year ends, everyone is prophesying over 2019. So we are also joining in with a really specific prophecy for you who are reading this." So this would be for you all who are listening to this. "In 2019, stuff is going to happen, but God will still be God, and it's your choice to view it all as good or bad." And I thought, you know, that's it. I mean, we rush to get out of one year into the next year, but guess what? We live in a fallen world, and stuff's going to happen. It's just life. Life happens. And, you know, it's how we view it. It's how we can see how God's using those circumstances to turn around for our good. He's not causing all those circumstances to happen, but he's taking those circumstances and he's helping us to grow into maturity. And let's face it, when you read the word, you know, the disciples and even Jesus, it wasn't easy street. they had trials, and they had to bounce back from major things, and they had screw-ups. But God still used them to change the world for the kingdom. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So, how do we thrive instead of just getting by during those times? And that's actually what I just want to share a couple things with you today. It's not real long, but we're going to talk about, you know, the main thing is for saturating ourselves in his presence. And how do we do that? How do we get to know him? And then we're going to continue worship and experience that. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. This, I love this section of scripture. And you know what? When Christ died on the cross and he rose from the dead, all of us did the same thing. It says in the word that even before he did the act on earth, he had taken away the sins of the world. And he sits at the right-hand side of the Father. So we're supposed to feast, and we're supposed to take from that banqueting table, from that heavenly feast of the kingdom realm, that we put our eyes and our mind and our hearts on heavenly things. And how do we do that? I mean, how do we do that? Well, for one thing, we need this word. This word is living. It's not just black and white on pages and sometimes red. It's living. It's the living word of God. And you can read one passage, and you can read it over and over and again, and you can get new revelation. Because God is continually taking us from glory to glory. He's continually revealing himself to the sons of man so that our minds can be changed and that we can become more like him. So, you know what? Don't let yourself be overwhelmed by this. Just start in, I don't know, in John or the Psalms or whatever. Just get a scripture, read, and when something jumps off of the page at you, meditate on it. You think about it. You think, what's Jesus saying to me at this point? You know, how can I apply this to my life? You just go out throughout the day and think about what he's saying, and he will reveal himself to you through the word. It says at the in this, I'm not sure which verse it is because I have it all typed together, but on part of that passage, it says that our true life, you know, this flesh is here, but our spirit man is really who we are. And our true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And what does it say that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to seek after him like that treasure in the field, that he is a treasure. So we need to know that true life. We need to go in and we need to seek after it. We need to find it. We need to pull it out, mine it out from him to find out who we really are. And then it says, and as we see Christ on who he is, then we will know who we are because we are like him. We are joined together. We have been joined together from the time that the cross has taken place. And when you think about that, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, of all mankind, chose to come down in human form in a manger so he could bring us back to that plan he had at the beginning as family and to be joined together in one accord. And it's Christ in you and you in Christ. You're one. You're co-heirs with everything. You're with him. And the only way that we can understand what that means is to get to know him. And this word explains him. This word shows him. And like I said, it will continue to reveal him to you. And you can see Christ in every book of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, he's in there. And it's not like, okay, I just need to say in a, you know, letters to the churches or whatever. You know, it's the whole package. He is in here from beginning to end. So it is our job to search it out. And when we know who he is, we'll know who we are, and we'll see ourselves changing to be more like him. So we do that, and we sat, and while we're doing that, that's we're aware more of his presence. We're aware of when he speaks to us, we're more inclined to recognize his voice when he's talking to us. So, you know, the important thing is to continue to saturate ourselves in his presence. So I just have five things I want to share with you, ways in which we can be saturated in God's presence, and ways that we are aware more of his presence. Let's put it that way. Ways that we are aware of his presence, because his presence, it's here. It's us that pull away and don't recognize it. He's always near us, and it's us. It's up to us to choose to know him and recognize him. So if you're in that place where I've been several times, that, you know, you feel like you're in that wilderness, or you feel like, God, where are you? I'm not sensing your presence like I usually do. I don't, you know, I'm feeling all alone. One of the things to do is think about the last time was that you were aware of him, that, you know, his presence was strong in your life. And did he ask you to do something? And a lot of times, like, you think, okay, I really felt his presence back here, and then I really felt him nudging me to do this, and you didn't do it. And obedience is a big key to being aware and growing in the presence of the Lord. You know, it could be something that the Lord asked you to lay down, I don't know, fast or whatever it is, you know, go visit someone or whatever it is. He likes us to be obedient. Just like, you know, we like our kids to be obedient. And when we're obedient to what he wants us to do, when he asks us to do, we're able to grow through that and move on to the next thing. He's not going to give us all this if we can't do this back here. So obedience, you know, that's just one thing that I know is like, okay, what was, you know, what did he ask me to do something that I haven't done yet, and believe me, Holy Spirit will let you know if you just ask him. And you know what? You do it, and then you move on. And it's a struggle with the flesh, because our flesh is weak. And even Jesus, I mean, he had that in the garden, extended me when he was praying. You know, he had that struggle with his flesh not wanting to give into the cross, you know. And our flesh speaks louder sometimes than anything else. And even with, you know, James and John and Peter that were there with them, he was like, okay, keep, you know, wake up, wake up. And their flesh kept wanting to go to sleep, you know. And I just think, like, you know, they dealt with that and were overcomers. And we can deal with that in overcomers, because the word tells us that Jesus has went through and everything that we've gone, that we are or will go through. And I don't think any of us were to the point yet that we're sweating blood. So so we just need to, we need to press in, and we need to tell our flesh just shut up and sit down. And let our spirit, because our spirit is always eager. And let our spirit respond to what God's saying. Second thing is to press in. So we want to pursue his presence, and then we will encounter his presence. And one of the good things, one of the good ways to do that is through the word and through singing and through worship. And, you know, that's another thing. Sometimes we think that it's too quiet, because we're so inundated with all this technology and social media networking that everybody's business and everybody's lives are in our face all the time, and we're looking at stuff all the time, that we do not know how to sit quietly. That we do not even, I really believe that this is even affecting people from being able to have face-to-face conversations with others, because it's all texting or messaging, and people don't know how to interact with each other. You know, especially these kids, they don't know how to interact with each other face-to-face. So if we're having trouble interacting with flesh beings, it's going to be harder for us to interact with someone we don't see. We need to learn to quiet ourselves down. We need to learn to turn the phones off, turn the TVs off, just get and sit and hear what the Lord is saying. And I have three psalms that I would like to share that are good psalms to get started with, to do this. Psalms 42, 1 through 2. I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. You know, that is a scripture that you can just set down. And you can just, you know, I don't care if you just read it at first, but just out loud and say, God, I long to drink of you. I want to drink deeply from those streams of pleasure. I want that's flowing from your presence. Overflow me, Lord God. I want more of you. I'm thirsting. I'm panting after you. He wants us to want it. You know, it's not that he needs us to do that. He doesn't need anything from us. But he wants us to want that because when we do, our hearts change. And we are able to exchange that love that he has for us and that we have for him. It grows expoundedly, that love. Another one is Psalms 46:10. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. You know, you're struggling with anything. You know, God, I'm surrendering you this anxiety. I am surrendering this frustration to you. I want to stop striving. I want to see that you are God. You are God above all the nations. You will be exalted throughout the whole earth. That, you know, is a way to interact with him. And then you sit quietly and you hear what his spirit is saying and revealing to you. Psalms 84, 1 through 2. God of heaven's armies, you find so much beauty in your people. They're like lovely sanctuaries of your presence. Deep within me are these lovesick longings, desires and daydreams of living in union with you. When I'm near you, my heart and my soul will sing and worship with my joyful songs of you, my true source and spring of life. I mean, these are beautiful scriptures that can create an intimate atmosphere between you and the Lord. And you know, and when you think about who wrote them, David, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. It's because he knew how to love God. He knew how to go after him. He knew, and you know what? He had a lot of mess up in his life. I mean, major things. Adultery, murder, and whatever else. But you know what? He knew where he needed to go back to get his strength. He knew that God was his only source. And he repented, and he continued to search out God. So that is one way to press in. And even like, that's why I wanted to do the worship a little bit different. Because when we go back into it, you know, it's just not about us singing songs or watching them up there do their thing. You know, it's about us pressing in. And I want it to be a time that if you need prayer for anything, if you need encouraged, if you need, you know, you want fire, baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, or if you just want to be you and Jesus up closer or wherever you're at, but just press in. Just ask him. We're going to ask him to more of him, to drink more of him during that time. Okay, number three, be a catalyst for the kingdom. So we know that a catalyst is an agent that provokes or speeds up significant change or action. And we're all called to be a catalyst. Not just one of us is a catalyst because God has called us all to be that, and we all work together. Exodus 33, 12 through 16. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I may know you. You becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, recognizing and understanding your ways more clearly, and that I might find grace and favor in your sight. And consider this also, that this nation is your people." So, you know, and Moses had a lot to deal with. I mean, those people he were leading and guiding, they were a pain in the butt. at times. And you know what? But he also had the compassion and love of God for them. And he knew what the best thing was. I mean, he knew that they needed him. They needed the Lord. And the Lord said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will find you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with me, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight? Is it not by your going with us so that we can be distinguished, your people and I, from all other people on the face of the earth?" So even though Moses, he had experienced God's presence in such an intimate way, he was willing to not go further and give that up because he wasn't willing to sacrifice God's presence. It meant that much to him. And the Lord said that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. There is rest in his presence. You know, we talk about, we need to rest. We need to rest. We need to lay this down. We need to rest. And it's hard to do that, especially when you're struggling with something, when you're worrying about something, you're stressing, you know. But it's that times when you get in his presence. And you will feel the rest of God on you. You will feel those burdens lift off of you because he's taking them from you. You will experience the rest of God. And the last part of that section in verse 16, he says, you know what? If we don't go, how's anybody going to know? How are we going to be different from the world? How are we going to be distinguished from others? You know, he was a catalyst right there, wanting to lead the people to be catalysts also, just like we are to be. Like the disciples were. He picked those disciples and he created a community. And he, in Matthew 4, that's when I think that was all happening, yeah. It was after Jesus came out of the wilderness and he picked his disciples and he declared that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. So then he calls his disciples. So he now has a new community of believers that operate in kingdom values. And each disciple will learn what it means to be a catalyst for the kingdom. I mean, they spent their days and nights with most of the time, and they were able to experience that. They were able to know how the kingdom values and what was, and the kingdom promises and what they were bringing from kingdom from heaven onto earth. I mean, they were healing and they were setting people free of demons and they were sharing the love of God. And, you know, they were doing the kingdom things. They were doing the things that we were called to do. This word didn't end with the disciples. We were supposed to carry that on. He tells us at the end of Matthew that that's what we're supposed to do and be catalysts for the kingdom. They, you know, and it wasn't easy for them. When you read about it, it wasn't easy for them. They got stoned and they got whipped or beat or whatever, you know, but they kept going. They kept going. And I think today, in today's society, it's so important that people think that they need to, I want to say this, make everyone feel good. That they're worried about someone's feelings. Now, I'm not talking about being rude or condemning people or whatever. But you know what? There's things that we need to say no to, that we need to disagree with of the world's, that the world's doing, so that we can be distinguished and we can say we are the light of the world. We don't act like that. We don't do that because, you know, there's something different in us. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what that is in each one of your lives because we're all different places. But we can't continue to just be a part of the world and expect to be a catalyst for the kingdom of God. It's not going to work. We're in one kingdom or we're in another. So number 4, live fully alive in his presence. So each one of us have a destiny from God. He wants each one of us to live in his presence and be fully alive in his glory. We talked about that his word is living, and we can read the same passage over and over, and he takes us to glory, and Holy Spirit is our teacher. And that's why it's so important for Holy Spirit to be in our lives. Yes, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. But the word talks about a baptism of the Holy Spirit, a baptism of fire that we can get. That, you know what, when we ask the Holy Spirit just to, you can have my life, and things, the word becomes more clear. He teaches us through the word. He speaks through the word. And the more time that we spend listening to him, the more we're used to his voice, the more we can recognize him. I mean, Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of the living God. He is the Spirit of the living God that is in each one of us. And he was sent to be our teacher. He was sent to be our counselor. He was sent to lead us and guide us. And we need to ask for more of him, you know, every day. I don't know. I ask for more of him all the time because, you know what? I'm leaky and have a lot of flesh going on. And I need that. I need him. I need him. So, you know, fully alive and using the Spirit of God that Jesus has given us to live fully in his presence. And number five is adoption. It's the inheritance of the believer. When we understand our inheritance, when we understand how we've been adopted into the family of God, and when we understand who God really is, he's our Father, our Abba Father, he is our Daddy, he's our Papa. When we understand that and get a revelation of that, his presence is more, we're more aware of his presence. We can, you know, experience more of his presence. And you know what? You don't have to be just sitting in a, you know, church or whatever, even at home listening to worship music to experience his presence. When you're used to being in the presence of the Lord, when you're aware of what his presence is, you can be in Walmart, you know, and experience his presence. Driving down the road, you know, experience his presence. You know, out with, to dinner with a friend, whatever. You know, he, it's not like we're supposed to leave him at home or leave him at certain places. He travels with us always. We're one. And so being kingdom people, we need to learn to experience and know his presence wherever we are, whatever we're doing. You know, and that doesn't mean that we're some fruitcakes that are unrelatable to other human beings. No, God is love and compassionate and encouraging and, you know, but we need to, you know, welcome his presence in our lives and welcome his Spirit in our lives. So Romans 8, 16 through 17, it says, "For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood revealed to us as he whispers into our innermost being. You are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ," we're already joined to Christ, "we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own." So we are already connected with Christ. His inheritance is in our inheritance. But just like someone that has a big trust fund or something for their children, they're not going to hand that over to them at an immature age. They're all their inheritance. Here, go do what you want. I mean, that's stupid. And so we receive our inheritance from the kingdom as we grow and mature. God will reveal and show us more and give us more. Hebrews 10, it talks about how we can approach God. We can approach a holy God as our Heavenly Father with boldness and full assurance of faith. We don't need to be, I don't know, schemish or, I mean, we don't be disrespectful either. But, you know, we have the assurance of Christ's righteousness. He sees us as righteousness. He sees us as co-heirs of Christ, so we can approach him with boldness and faith and to know that he is faithful and he will do everything that he has said in his word for us. Being children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls us to a higher standard, a different way of life, and a greater hope. And that's, again, I mean, that's why we need to be separate from the world. We can't blend in. Why are they going to want what we have? And you know what? I don't even like the word Christian anymore because everyone uses that. I'm a Christian, but okay, you might think there's a Jesus, but the rest of your life is not speaking that. I prefer a believer, but why would they want something that's the same of what they already have? Why would they want, you know, something that's not changing their life? It looks like their life. You know, our lives need to be different. And even when we're growing through stuff, even when the times are hard, you know, I know that it's not like you have to fake it. Like, you're having a situation and you're upset and you're, you know, crying or whatever. You know, you don't fake it and pretend that it's all good. No. You know, just be yourself, be true. Yeah, you're going through this, but you're not going through this alone. God's there with you. He's taking you through this, and he will turn around and use it for your good. And people see how you react to those situations. It's not that we don't have stuff or we're supposed to hide our stuff and pretend we're all holy and now. No, we have stuff. And we want people to see how we react to the stuff that we're going through. And even when we come into gatherings, you know, it's not about us just coming here and getting a word or whatever. You know, it's about us coming in here, already has searched out Christ throughout the week, filled with his spirit, and coming in here and encouraging each other or giving a word to each other or praying for each other and lifting each other up and saying, hey, you're not alone. You know, I'm here for you. You know, I'm praying for you or whatever it is, you know, and worshiping God. That's what it's about. So it's so important for us to be filled up through the week in our day-to-day life so we have something that we can give out when we're in a gathering of believers, because we are going through stuff. God created us for his family. When we come home to the family of God, we come into kingdom living where there is abundant joy and peace and hope. You can saturate yourself in his presence until all of you is overcome by his great love. And you know what? His love, I think, is beyond words. And I don't know if we'll ever really experience the full extent of his love. I mean, even when Jesus comes back and sets his kingdom up on earth, you know, I mean, we're going to be overwhelmed by that love. But I don't know, because we're going to continually grow and learn. So will there ever be a point that we'll ever really be able to withhold or, you know, the love that he has for us? It's so deep, it's so wide, it's amazing. So back to, you know, the gift that came in the manger scene. I mean, it was a precious gift. He's not in a manger anymore, though. He's alive and well. We're on the other side of the cross. We're in the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom is now. But I want each one of us, as we're going into, you know, from now on out, you know, embracing the gift that Jesus gave us, the kingdom, the Holy Spirit, you know, how are we going to embrace that? Are we going to, you know, put him away until the next holiday? Or are we going to continually pursue and go after him? You know, it's really our choice. I think in the days that we're living, it's to our benefit because they're getting tougher. There's more stuff going on. And it's going to take us more persistent going after him and more of him to be able to rise above and be the light that we're called to be. So let's worship. So if they could come back up here. And like I said, you know, if you want to, whatever you want to do, I don't know if you want. And if someone feels like they have a word for the body, please come up. You know, this is a safe place. And, you know, it's a place of love and encouragement. And we don't always get it right all the time. But when you're, you know, you're giving a word in the spirit of love and encouraging, edifying, you know, you can't be wrong. I'm blessing people. Or if they, you know, feel like the Lord's saying something else to them to share with the rest of this message. You know, it's not a one-man show. You know, we're all part of it. We're all part of it. So we're just going to, you know, use the Psalms 42 as we lead into worship. Lord God, we long for you. We long to drink of you. We long to drink deeply, God, of your streams of pleasure that's flowing from your presence, God. We want more of you. We need more of you. We want to experience you, God, today. We do not want to leave here the same as we came in. We want to experience you and more of you, to experience more of your love and your goodness, Lord God. We want to know Holy Spirit. We want to recognize him when he speaks to us, when he's leading and guiding us, Lord God. Our longings are overwhelm us for you, Lord God. We ask for more of you today, Lord God. Our soul thirsts and pants and longs for the living God. We want to come face to face with God. Lord, you said your presence is the face of God. Your presence is surrounding us. We ask that each one of us is aware of that presence today, that we are aware of the presence of God that is surrounding us, that is right in front of us, to the side of us, behind us. We are aware of you being here and in our lives. All we want is you, Jesus. We're going after you now and into the new year.